Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yachts, and I'm here with
City Scent. What's up, man?
Nothing much. And we are here to change your view on professional wrestling.
Word.
And here we go.
Right that time.
We're talking about we are talking about the Final Four, and we're talking about the Raw after, hopefully. I don't know. We may not talk about that either, but we're talking Final Four right now. And I think I sound way too much like Todd Pettengill.
Oh God.
Let's talk. All right. Final Four. This is the February pay-per-view. We got Vader. We got Taker. We got Hart. We got Austin. Rules are simple. Pinfall or submission, but also over the top rope. Because we don't want to beat anybody.
And that's what I hate.
But this is a good match. They have a brawl. They have a big, big brawl.
Yeah.
And it feels
the good. The match was great. Here's my problem. I don't like the fact that literally 2 weeks before this, they had Austin win the Rumble. The next night, they stripped them of the right to go to WrestleMania. Now, you got to remember, if you're following up to this point and you are a loyal Kings Road listener, what happened after he won the King of the Ring?
Yeah,
he
they didn't
get a title shot at SummerSlam like every King of the Ring was getting for the last couple years.
Yeah.
So now he wins the Rumble and he doesn't get the title shot, which has become a very established stipulation at this point.
Yeah, I think it's little things that are happening though that make people like Austin. You keep screwing them over subtly.
You know, like there's a rumbling. It's like, man, they keep screwing this guy, and then you have Bret Hart talking about being screwed. This guy's being screwed. He keeps winning matches, and they keep taking him off title matches.
Yeah, I know.
So then you do this match to make sure that nobody loses, like, then why do, if you are that concerned with protecting four people in a match, well, maybe don't make it an elimination match if you're that concerned about protecting people. The match is great, and honestly, I feel that they should have something similar to the Final Four on every Rumble every year.
Where, I agree. I like the concept of the Final Four because it gives you something to achieve in the Rumble if you don't win.
Yeah, because does the Final Four really matter? And there was a time that if you were in the Final Four of the Rumble, it meant something. It meant that they believed in you at that time. They believed that you were probably going to be close to the main event picture. But the last couple decades, honestly, the last decade, it really hasn't mattered at all.
The last Rumble that really stands out to me is when Nakamura eliminated Roman Reigns. That one was a good Rumble.
I don't think that was a good Rumble.
That's the only thing I remember.
Because, see, the follow-through counts. And
yeah, the follow-through sucked.
Well, what made the Rumble what it was, which to me was the most exciting event of the year, even over Mania, because this told you who was the guy you won this, you were a main event guy, and you kind of got an idea of what was coming.
You know what's interesting is Danielson and Punk, two of the top guys, probably the two uncrowned top guys, never won the Royal Rumble. What does that say? Vince never really truly believed in either
one. To be honest, that doesn't matter because Nakamura won it.
I know,
he didn't even win the title. Brian didn't even win it and won the title.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, but it just shows how far it's fallen.
Because they don't stick to the soul of what made it over.
Or stipulation.
You agree. See, like Nakamura won, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't like him, now he got to win the title. I don't care what you say, he got to win the title.
Yeah, but it was the thing I'm saying is I remember the match. The match was good. I remember it being a good match.
See, but
and then the you know, and then the Brock one. The Brock I one against
the Taker and Shawn was the last good Rumble.
That was a good Rumble too.
But what made it good is that it foreshadowed probably the last great feud
WWE. Yeah, I would agree.
You know, and that's what makes those kind of matches important. It's what moments come from that. And I just,
one of my favorite Rumbles is probably, you know, the Austin, what was it, 2001, Austin, Rock, and Kane. It was really more the final three that year. But when Austin, they did such a good job of building up Austin, Kane as the monster. Rock and Kane.
Was Billy Gunn the other guy?
No, I think it was Taker.
Taker.
Or was it Rikishi? But my point is, like, he was eliminated so fast. The fourth guy was eliminated so fast, and it just was down to Austin, Rock, and Kane.
Because I remember as a kid, I was having an argument with my cousin while watching the Rumble, and he could have sworn Billy Gunn was going to win. That this was the time for the one Billy Gunn.
Nobody. Yeah, that would have been
Isaias.
That would have been this. That would have been who would have? I absolutely hated the one Billy Gunn thing. I'm gonna be honest. I absolutely hate that gimmick. What a stupid gimmick.
I always thought Billy Gunn could have been a bigger star than he was, though.
But that one Billy Gunn, that wasn't gonna make him a star. That was stupid.
I just
feel
that when he came back from injury after getting beat up by DX, I think they could have done a lot more with that.
Of course, they could have done Triple H. Remember, he comes back and Austin stuns him.
Yeah.
You haven't seen him in months, and he's getting stunned in a meaningless segment that nobody remembers. In a segment that's gonna suck and kill Rikishi, who is selling merchandise, and just nothing. He meant nothing after that. They killed his career. Anyways, let's get to the final four. I like the brawl. I like how stiff they were. Once again, Austin and Brett go right into punches. They're not doing headlocks. They want to just kill each other. And they're just like, the ring can't hold them. And then you got Vader, Vader was still pretty good at this point in time, because he could do a good brawl.
And he gets busted open. Here's the thing, though. Vader's credibility in WWF at this time, it was in the floor.
It was nothing. But as a worker, his match.
He was always a great worker. Like, no one has ever said he wasn't. But he got his ass whooped by an old man in flip-flops. I'm just saying, like, I can't respect you.
When did he get his ass whipped by... Man,
Vader, when he got his ass whooped by Paul Orndorff and fucking flip-flops, when the man was already in his 50s, how the fuck you lose to a man in his 50s in your prime? That's why he left WCW.
Although,
I can't respect you. You're supposed to be this big tough guy who be Inoki.
I mean,
and
Vader
then you come here and you get your ass whooped by an old man in flip-flops.
Well, that's called stupid booking.
You're fired.
Oh yeah. Oh, you mean backstage? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Come on.
I don't know, but like,
I would have fired Batista when he got his ass whooped by Booker T.
Vader also cried. He wanted to. Vader also cried when Sean wouldn't sell for him. He was crying to Jim Cornette.
Vader said he was a fat piece of shit.
That was so stupid. Oh yeah, when he gets beat by Kane, he's like, just a piece of shit. Just a fat piece of shit.
Which, like, I remember Austin cutting a promo on Vader, calling him basically that as well.
Wait, when did he do that? He did do it?
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of notes here.
Wait. Austin called Vader? You did that? At this time? Or later?
I fucking had it here.
Notice Austin still takers.
Because you kind of lost me because you went way like.
I'm sorry, I just jumped right in. Yeah, let's follow the name.
Austin cuts a promo on Vader on Superstars, talking about that Vader is about to learn. Austin, time has come. I find the promo poignant, but he also calls him a fat piece of trash. You know. By this point, honestly, though, those very memorable Austin superstar moments were pretty much fading. They didn't really use them much on superstars at this point.
Well, thank you.
Which is a good sign.
Can't find them.
It is a good sign.
Because you can't find them on the damn network.
I don't remember Sean ever being on Superstar. I'm just saying, like,
no. But yeah, now looking at the entrances, you know, Austin, he doesn't sell Taker's entrance. He doesn't back down from Vader. You know, he's acting, he's a heel, but he's acting very babyface.
Now, we're talking about the Final Four. Let me put a little thing about Austin going into the Final Four. By this point, every main event Stone Cold's had on Raw, it's about 90% DQs. So, like, literally since he won the King of the Ring and up to this point, February of 97, on Raw, on TV, I think he only won like two or three matches.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, it's not like he wrestled every week. He'd probably wrestle every 3 weeks on Raw, every 2 weeks on Raw.
Well, that just shows how that's a testament.
Here's the problem.
To his,
so
to his
they either
stardom.
Book him against a Sid Vicious, against a Shawn Michaels, against an Undertaker, a Mankind they don't want to beat. So they end up doing a DQ, or he beats Aldo Montoya, some fucking random jobber, and he'll win that match. But he ain't beating nobody. He couldn't even beat Vader. And we just talked about what a jobber he was by the beginning of 97.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's...
I'm just saying.
It's
Stone Cold should have beat Vader on Raw because his ass got whooped by an old man in flip-flops. You telling me Stone Cold can't whoop him in a match on Raw? Fuck.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
All right, yeah, you're bringing up backstage shit that people have no idea about.
I know, and our listeners,
they also know. Yes, there's something. Yeah, they're gonna know about the Orndorff fight. I think JR in this, he's great in this show. He really puts over the importance of the match, which is what JR does better than anything. Also, we want to send out JR. We wish him well on his recovery. He's going to take it down.
Man,
it's sad.
That shit is so sad.
But it's he's going to get through it.
I've never seen a person with worse luck than JR. It's so sad. Like, I can't.
He lost his wife later on in life, who he loved dearly. The good thing is he's now in a company that treats him really well. Yeah. And they give him the respect. He is golden. He can do whatever he wants. Nobody messes with him.
If it was
the fans
Vince
can complain
said,
about him. Yeah.
Vince would have made a joke out of it, knowing him. Like he did when he got that surgery and he talked about anal bleeding or whatever.
He didn't know,
like,
if he was gonna live. Yeah. I mean, that's
stupid.
Anyways, we got sidetracked, but we had to say something about that. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm on his side. I like this match, though, because it's a brawl, and it feels like a brawl, and it's not a quick brawl. It's a long match. I agree with you that I don't think Austin should have been eliminated first. It probably should have been Vader, but I think they wanted...
No fucking shit! The dude lost to an old man in flip-flops,
all right,
and he's fucking getting eliminated second to the guy that won the Rumble. So right off the bat, you're saying that the guy that won the Rumble is the fourth best person in the Rumble.
Yeah.
The guy that lasted over 45 minutes in the Rumble, the guy who had the best performance in the Rumble, the guy that you're going to put in the main event a year later, and they used to plan their shit a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you have him losing to fucking Vader? Well, not that he lost to Vader, but, you know, that he got eliminated before Vader. This is fucking ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about a little bit more about the Final Four. And Yeah. So stay tuned. All right, so we're back. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, well, we're talking more of the Final Four here. Austin, why is he eliminated first?
Stupid. Of all those four guys, who was the least established?
I would say Austin.
Who needed to get over the most in this match?
Well, it's like we talked about last week. You know, you don't bring a guy down when he's never been up.
It's
and that's what they did.
Sense. And they do this all the time now. But absolutely, it's just so infuriating because of the foresight that we can see. You know, we like it. It's clearly an example of them still not knowing what they have. They are. It's amazing how they lucked into Austin and Rock, because it really is lucked into. Of all the things they did in the beginning of this road that could have halted his progress tremendously.
I know.
Because without the shirt, without the shirt being out and the mega sales that it got, I don't know if Vince goes.
Yeah, I think it's the merchandise sales that really pushes Austin. But
I can argue that if they made the fucking shirt a month after King of the Ring in 96, like they should have, we could have got there a lot sooner. Who knows? Maybe WrestleMania 13.
Well, we talked about it. Austin had to fight for. He had to ask Taker.
See,
if
but
he could put a skull on the back of his shirt.
But I don't think he was ready by WrestleMania 13. But I don't think he was ready because of how they pushed him.
Of course, if you they know? Had pushed him right, he would have been ready.
Yeah, like
we talked about it in July. You knew this guy was the guy. You could see it, and they just didn't position him that way.
It's amazing how, but you got to remember, this is a guy that when Vince Russo told him the show sucked, he looked at him like he had four heads.
And he didn't get it.
He does not compute it.
Remember, he thinks it's called Seinfeld. He doesn't even know the name of the show. Let's talk about one thing. Does Austin hit the stunner in this match?
Yes, he does. He did it to Brad. He said it actually. He did it to like Bob Holly. He did it a couple times. Often. Mainly whippersnapper variation.
This is the whippersnapper. We're still whippersnapper.
I always like the whippersnapper. I just feel that
the kick to the gut is what we got him.
Yes, I feel the whippersnapper is good if you're trying to counter a move and hit it like smoothly, kind of like an RKO in the sense of, a smooth pattern.
Well, the RKO over so much is he would hit it with such height and such ease.
And that he countered, the gimmick was that he was countering finishers with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. You could have done the Stone Cold Stunner as a whippersnapper if you're countering finishers. But outside of when you're countering finishers, you need the kick and you need the snap. Without the kick and the snap, you don't get the iconic greatest finisher of all time.
But for me, the thing that really got the Orton one over is the airtime he would get with it.
That's not what got it over, bro.
No, I know that's not what got it over.
The Diamond Cutter over. The Diamond Cutter wasn't over because of the height that DDP put, which had no
height. But to me, that's what he hit it so smooth. I can remember the first time I really took notice of the RKO and I really was like looking at it was they did a beatdown with Evolution and he hit it on Hughie. And I remember he just jumped so high.
It looked so graceful.
It looked so devastating too. It didn't look like it.
Because he used to
graceful but devastating.
He used to jump over the third rope. Like I remember I used to cut promos as like Orton when I used to do E-Feds back then. And when he would jump for the RKO, He jumped over the third rope. That's how high he would jump. He was above the third rope, which made for great photos.
Yeah, I remember when he transferred over to SmackDown. He hit it on Taker. Yeah. And he just jumped and hit him, and I'm like, he hit like nothing. And I'm like,
what really put it over.
And they never did it in the video game. And they, at that time, it took them like four video games to finally get the height right.
Yeah, and it took a while.
Because for a while there, they were just using it as like a neck breaker. It was like, no, watch.
I think it was like SmackDown versus Raw 06 that finally got it right.
No, it was like 8. Oh, 09, actually. Oh, 08 was really when I started it, because every year people are asking on the message boards, when are we going to get the real RKO? When are we going to get the real RKO? And they just kept putting that crappy, stupid, it just didn't look like what he would do. Like, he could do it one-handed. I mean, to me, the ease of the finisher was one of the things that got him over so much. He just hit it like it was nothing. Same thing with Austin. The way he would just hit the snap on the stunner, it just...
But I think the psychology behind the diamond cutter is slightly different than the stunner, because...
Absolutely.
I think it's the countering of moves. It's not that out of nowhere, because that's become...
Yeah, DDP's more was, yeah, that counter. Well, his was more out of the nowhere thing. With Austin, it was the kick to the gut and just seeing it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm comparing the diamond cutter to the RKO, though. And that,
oh, the RKO. Oh, yeah.
I think the fact that they would counter finishers to do it was what got both of those moves over. Like,
when it really got over, yeah, you're right. When he started doing it to Evan Bourne. And
it's not like DDP's was that good. Like, honestly, Orton's is way better.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like, that was the thing that got over.
DDP is the one.
It's about how you do a move, not even how well you do the move.
Yeah. DDP is the one, I think, that showed him how to do it, too.
Yeah.
And gave it to him. Just funny. They never bring that up. But, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Who made the move, though?
Yeah, I mean, well.
People power.
You don't know, now you know, Johnny Ace.
Yeah, the father-in-law of Danielson. You know what's funny? We were talking about out of nowhere. You know how great Johnny Ace's cutter is, the greatest of all time? Because when he kicked Triple H out of his position, that was out of nowhere. Zinger, cha! That's the greatest out of nowhere RKO of all time.
There you go.
I didn't see that one coming at all. If you would have told me bet money, Triple H is the next guy in line, I would have bet the money. Got replaced by Johnny Ace. Jesus.
He's Kendall. Succession. I named you after Amazon's reading device, kid. All right, so what else should we say about this match?
I thought the match was good. It was a great brawl. I honestly wish they would implement this kind of psychology in the final four of the Rumbles to make it more meaningful, a lot more meaningful. And don't make it a stupid rule like after the last four are in, we restart the match and it's this. No,
because that's what they would do. That's
yeah, that's exactly what they would do. Just make it happenstance. That the four guys are so good that you need 20 minutes to get them out. Not don't make it some rules, just make it happenstance. That's what would get the people over. More importantly, it'll get the other guys in that match that aren't gonna win over. And that's the whole
thing. So you mean like extending so when it's the final four, not having it, because usually they just eliminate them super fast, have like a match like they did with Shawn and Taker.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Change the psychology. Don't make rules. The
they
rules
did that a little
don't
bit
need
with
to be
like,
changed. The rules like don't Reigns need to be changed. And, it's already no DQ. We already know that unless you're over the rope, you don't get eliminated. So you can brawl outside easily.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need to do anything. You simply take 20 minutes to get everybody out.
I like that. You're right. It would give the losers, the other people in the four,
it gives them a platform.
More of time. I agree. That's good. All right. So how would you have booked this match? How would you do?
I would have had Vader lose first easily.
Okay.
That's not even like a
discussion. I mean, he bleeds a gusher in this match.
I wouldn't have him.
Amazing.
I wouldn't have had him eliminated by going over. I'd have him take a stunner in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. No question. Okay.
But what about, let's talk a little bit about the blood there. Because this is a period in time when the blood was a no-go. Like, that had to have been the hard way. And he is bleeding like a faucet. And it's quite a sight. It kind of makes him look cool.
It does. It looks cool. And you know what would have been cooler? If when Austin grabs him, sticks the middle finger to do the stunner, he grabs him and the blood is in his hand, gives him middle finger with the blood on it, and then gives him a stunner, and then he puts the blood like on his chest like that.
Yeah. That would have been cool. All right, so do you have Austin and Brett the final two?
Jesus, of course.
So how do you eliminate
Taker? Let's say you don't know anything and you watch wrestling live at that point. How do you not see Brett and Austin being the last two? Like Jesus.
how do you eliminate Taker?
Well, to me, if the whole point of the throwing people over is to eliminate the Undertaker without making him look bad.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. Have Austin and Brett, who hate each other so much, but they take the Undertaker so seriously. They're teaming up for this second to eliminate. In fact, what I would have done is I would have had a great triple threat between the three of them. And once it gets to the finish, when they agree to like throw him over, right? Boom, as they both throw Undertaker over, Austin hits Bret Hart, low blow, and throws him over as well.
But then we talked about that. So you would want Austin to be the champion
at
this point in time?
Oh, shit. I wouldn't have made it a title.
Yeah, this is what I mean. The title's on the line. So how do you beat Austin?
Because I could easily say the same reverse and have Bret do that, but that would have made him too much of a heel.
Yeah, it's not time to turn him heel yet.
Even though I can say that wouldn't have been like a full turn. That could have been done well.
They could have done that.
Yeah, because at that point, it's not like Brett was beneath doing that kind of stuff. And they hated each other at the time. To me, it wouldn't have been a heel turn if he won it right there. Just by throwing him out.
Now the next thing that happens,
that would mean that he would have to win the match at WrestleMania.
Austin?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're doing a title match, Bret Hart wins the match by throwing Austin.
I think that's why they eliminate him first, so you could forget about that.
But we're not idiots. We don't forget. Like, I know, but people think we're just gonna forget shit. You know, like really? So I'm going to remember the last elimination more than the first. Like if it's
some of the stupid
it's like 10 minute difference. What the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. They kind of painted themselves in a corner there. I mean,
I would have had Undertaker.
That's a good point.
I would have had Undertaker get eliminated by both Austin and Brett and then have Brett eliminate him from the back. Not a low blow, just have him eliminate him from the back. In fact, I got a better one.
Oh, okay. What?
The finish. Oh my God, I love this.
Okay, what is it? Genius. Let's hear it.
The finish, right? The Austin, Brett, and Austin are having this triple threat segment. And then Austin throws Brett over, thinking he eliminated him, and then goes up to Undertaker, and then they start fighting on the other side of the ring.
Oh, so he does what he did to...
Yes.
Oh, he brings it. Oh, that would have been great. Oh.
And right when Austin like is getting the Undertaker over, not quite yet, then Brett comes from the other side and eliminates both of them.
The same way
Austin did.
That's
beautiful.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been how you do
See,
it.
We've already booked up 97, even better than they're booking.
Yeah, bro, that like it just hit me like, wow, that would have been
actually
poetic.
Great. That, yeah, that's smart. Foreshadowing the heel turn. Oh, that's great. I like that. That works.
It foreshadows it, but obviously you can defend it because Austin did the same shit to him.
Yeah.
You can't like.
So you can do WrestleMania 13 then. Yeah. At the end of this show, Sid comes out and has the face down with Brett.
I love Sid.
Then
look, I want
to. We're gonna get to Sid.
Give Sid Vicious enough credit. I like Sid. I don't care what nobody says.
I know.
His
love
promos
Sid.
Are stupid, but they're hilarious in a good way. The intensity is there, and he's over.
All right, save it to we're going to talk about Sid. But anything Sid else to say about Final Four?
It sucked. Austin should have won.
All right, there you go. So, and with that, when we come back, we did not get to Raw, but we will do Raw. The Raw after Final Four, which is a big Raw, and
very
we'll
big,
explain
yeah.
that. So I will, we will see you soon, or you will hear us soon. So the truth
shall
set
you
free.
Same stuff.